It's difficult to be joyful all the time. In fact, some days it's difficult to be joyful at all, especially if you're in pain. But that's a part of life, right? All too often, though, we find our minds dwelling on the problems that we're facing. Those thoughts consume our time and our energy as we try to figure out, how am I going to solve this problem? How am I going to deal with that person or whatever it might be? We get caught up in the negative, and that's not healthy. Well, the church in Colossae that Paul was writing to was surrounded by a pagan culture which included idol worship, immorality, and there was a pressure for believers there to return to their old way of life. And they were struggling with those pressures. There was also the presence of false teachings that threatened to influence the church. And so Paul is writing to warn them against these dangers and encourage them to continue in the faith. His instruction is valuable for us as well. Let us read from Colossians 3, 15 and 7 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. While the cultural situation for us today is different from theirs, we're not, well, maybe you are to some degree surrounded by paganism, but there's all different kinds of idols being worshipped, but still, we are feeling the pull of the society we live in to conform, to go along with the flow, or to return to the way things used to be. Our old habits, our old way of living. And we can't escape those pressures while we're living in this world. But we can choose what our attitude will be. We can choose to go through the day complaining, or we can choose to go through the day giving thanks to God. I love that video, just thanking everybody for everything. I mean, when you think about it, if we really choose whatever we do to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, can we complain in Jesus' name? Oh, Lord, this dinner is terrible. Thank you, God. You know, it just doesn't quite fit together. If we are focusing our attitude on doing everything for Jesus' name, then it's going to change the way we think, the way we feel, the way we act. Dr. David Soper, in his book, God is Inescapable, suggests that basically the difference between a prison and a monastery is the difference between griping and gratitude. In both a prison and a monastery, people kind of put themselves away from the world. But in a prison, you know, the criminals usually spend most of their time unhappy. They don't want to be there. They're complaining or griping. But the saints who've kind of imprisoned themselves in a monastery, they spend every making moment offering thanks. And Dr. Soper says that when a criminal becomes a saint, a prison may become a monastery. But when a saint gives up gratitude, the monastery could become a prison. It doesn't matter so much where we are or what we're doing. What matters is the way we think about it, the way we approach it. And so Paul's words to the church in Colossae are for us as well. And his directions will help us if we're willing to follow them. See, if we want to be joyful, we want to know what gives us joy. And at the heart of our passage is the attitude that we are to have. What gives us joy is knowing God. That's our biggest blessing. And if we have that joy, then everything else. I mean, Paul put it this way, that I consider the trials of this life, they're not even worthy to be compared with the joy that I'm looking forward to, the joy of spending eternity with God in heaven. That's something to look forward to, and that's something that can affect us right here and now. And so Paul says to be thankful. Notice in those two verses, he's talking about thanks or gratitude three times. He says at the beginning, be thankful. It's not a suggestion. It's not a, yeah, maybe that would be good. It's a command saying, this is what we need to do, to be thankful. And then in the middle, he talks about having gratitude in our hearts. And then at the end of the passage, he again talks about giving thanks. It's all too easy to focus on what we don't have, to focus on what's not going well, to focus on the things that we don't like or what we can no longer do. Instead, we want to focus on what God does give us, what we are able to do. Because we all have something that God has called us to do. That's why we're still here. We want to be able to focus on that. And it might not be what we were able to do. It might not even be what we wanted to do. But if we're doing what God wants, it will give us joy. We face pressures to conform to the world around us, to fit in. But as believers, we are called to live our ways that are different from the world, ways that bring honor to God. And so in our passage today, Paul gives the three imperatives, commands. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell within us richly, and give thanks. So the peace of Christ. Well, what is that peace? Peace is not something that we manufacture. It's not something that depends on our circumstances. Peace is that calm assurance that no matter what is happening in our lives, in the world around us, that God is in control and that God is working all things together for good, and that we are in God's hands. See, if we really believe that, then we'll know that nothing can harm us. It is a gift that God in Christ gives. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, that peace that passes all understanding. We can't describe it, we can't explain it, but we can experience it if we really know we're in God's hands. He's in control. I have to be willing then to give up control. I have to be willing to say to God, not what I want, but what you want. I have to be willing to receive that gift of peace. Through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We have inner peace. And we can have peace with one another. See, as members of one body, we are called to have peace with one another. Paul writes in Romans 14, 19, let us, therefore, make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. In other words, to build one another up, not to tear one another down by negative words or deeds. The word is the word that is used of an umpire. Now, let the peace of Christ, he says, rule in our hearts. What is that? Well, it's the way an umpire rules, talking about what's right, what's wrong, what's a ball, what's a strike, what's safe, what's not safe. When we have disagreements or hurt feelings, we are told to let Christ's peace be our guide, which will lead to peace, which will lead to mutual edification. When we have hurt feelings, we are to let Christ's peace rule to determine whether we're right or maybe the other person was right. Paul wants the Colossians to make peace the arbiter, the factor that should be given preference over competing concerns or interests. Not what I want, but what is going to build everybody up. As William Barclay put it, the right way to action is to appoint Jesus Christ as the one who decides between conflicting emotions in our hearts, and then to accept his decisions. Let the peace of Christ rule. And then Paul goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And the word of Christ is both the teaching about Christ, the gospel message, who he is, what he has done for us. And it's also the words that Jesus spoke, his teachings telling us how God wants us to live as his disciples. We're to let that word dwell, make itself at home within us, take up residence richly within us. We are to let Jesus' word, his teachings, be so familiar to us that we let it show in every area of our lives. Are we that familiar with the word? Are we that at home and comfortable with it? Do we have it in a part of our daily lives? Do we start the day with God's word? Jesus said in John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you can ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Because when we're living in Christ and his word lives in us, we will want what he wants. The purpose of that, of letting his word dwell within us, is so that we can teach, so that we can admonish, and so that we can do it wisely. A part of that is to sing with gratitude. There's the Thanksgiving again. Sing with gratitude. You know, not come ye thankful people. Come ye thankful people. Come raise a song of harps. No. With gratitude in our hearts. When we look at the hymnal in the Hebrew Bible, that's the book of Psalms. And at the moment in my morning devotions, I'm going through the book of Psalms, just one chapter a day. But as we read the Psalms, we begin to notice how many of the Psalms include a call to praise the Lord, to sing joyfully, to make a joyful noise to the Lord, to come to God with thanksgiving in our hearts, to keep our singing from becoming rote or stale. It is good to include new songs as well as the traditional ones. Psalm 56:1 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Yeah, it's the attitude. At one point in time, the church only sang the Psalms or hymns based on the Psalms. And according to the common practice, the clerk would read the psalm out line by line and the church would repeat it or sing that line after each one, after him. Well, there was one young man in the church once who complained about it, saying these things are getting tiring. Well, his father challenged him, well, if you think you can do better, why don't you write your own? Well, he did. He started writing hymns. And before long, they were being sung not only in his church, but in other churches. Well, needless to say, People were not happy with that. These newfangled songs, you know, what is this we're singing? Where did they come from? Typical of that, when the first General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in the United States met in Philadelphia, May 1789, yeah, so this was a while ago, Reverend Adam Rankin was granted the permission to speak, and he said, I have ridden on horseback all the way from my home in Kentucky to ask this august body to refuse to allow the great and pernicious error of adopting the use of these new hymns in public worship. He wanted these new hymns banned. Well, fortunately, he was overruled. And many of this man's songs are still being sung today. In fact, you probably know some of them. Joy to the World. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We're Marching to Zion. O God, our Help in Ages Past. The young man who wrote these and over 600 hymns named Isaac Watts. Thank God they allowed new music into the church. In fact, if I recall this story, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God was not accepted very easily at the beginning either, because he used a common popular tune to put his words to. Well, we will express our joy through our thankfulness by singing hymns, psalms, but also spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God. Paul says in Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing, make music in your hearts to God. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let the word of Christ dwell. And sing with gratitude. He concludes then, do everything in the name of Jesus. Everything we do should be a reflection of Jesus Christ, since as believers, we are his representatives. You ever watched a ball game, a football game? Many athletes show gratitude to God when they do something good. You'll see them, you know, just giving a sign or giving thanks to God when they hit a home run or make a touchdown or win a race. Former Indianapolis Colts kicker Matt Stover has learned to give God the glory even in defeat. During the first quarter of Super Bowl 44, Stover made a 38-yard field goal and promptly pointed to the heavens, giving God the glory for his achievements. Of course, many players will do that. However, in the fourth quarter, with the game on the line, Stover missed a 51-yard field goal. Once again, he pointed to the heavens. And that action didn't escape notice. CBS announcer Jim Nance made note of the action, lauding Stever as a spiritual man, grateful for divine blessing in success and failure, victory and defeat. The Bible teaches us to give glory to God in all we do, whatever we do. In all circumstances, give thanks. God receives much glory when we praise him and remain faithful, even when things are not going the way we would like them to go. Notice, Paul says that we are to let the peace of Christ rule. Let the word of Christ dwell. And it indicates we have a choice. We can choose to live our lives the way the world does, or we can let Christ's word dwell in us and transform us. And when we do these things, we will find that our perspective on our situation will be different, for our minds will be set on Jesus Christ, and the result will be an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness, and that will bring us joy. Bible commentator Matthew Henry, after being robbed, wrote in his diary the following: "Let me be thankful. First, I've never been robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. And third, because although they took my all, it wasn't all that much. Fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed somebody else." Matthew Henry could find in a way to be thankful in that situation. How hard is it for us to be able to find something to be thankful for? One of the other stories I read was in a worship service, and it was a Thanksgiving Sunday, and the pastor was known for always, you know, trying to be upbeat and thankful. But that day, it was snowing to beat the dickens. The wind was blowing. It was a horrible weather day, and there were people in the church saying, "Well, I'd like to see him find something to be thankful for this time." Well, the time came for prayer, and sure enough, the pastor got up and said, "Oh, Lord, I thank you that it's not like this every day."